Turn with me to the book of Joshua, chapter 7 and verse 1. Joshua chapter 7 and verse 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Let's pray and ask the Lord for help. Lord, we are trodding on some very sacred ground, and who are we to approach your word when it discusses sin and judgment? We are sinners. We are sinners by imputation. We are sinners by practice. We are sinners by nature. And therefore, we come with our heads bowed and our knees prostrate before you and ask for your help as we seek to rightly divide your word. Come and help us by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. The message is secret congregational sins. Secret congregational sins. Joshua chapter 7. Now the rule in Bible study is when a sentence begins with the word but, we are to go back to events that went before. Verse 1 of Joshua 7 is a sharp contrast to what took place in Joshua 6. Israel conquered the city of Jericho and rescued Rahab. We covered that. As far as we can tell, all seemed well. But there was a serious breach of prohibition. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. This is in stark contrast to what God said in Joshua 6, verse 18. And ye, in any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves a curse. When ye take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. Secret congregational sins in the light of clear directives given by God is defiance. It is defiance not against men, but against God. Joshua chapter 7, verse 1 is a review of the past and begins with the conjunction, but the children of Israel committed a trespass. Something happened that Joshua and the rest of Israel did not know. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. All may seem well in the church, but we should be ever mindful of secret congregational sins in our church. Joshua 7, verse 1 is a review of the past from God's perspective. And he's showing it to us. There is no perfect congregation. There is no perfect professing Christian. Verse 1 is also a preview of what would follow. What is recorded in Joshua 7 is a result of this preview in Joshua chapter 7, verse 1. the children of Israel committed a trespass. The trespass is to transgress God's law. All unrighteousness is sin. But sin in the face of stated given directives, whether be from the pulpit or from reading, is defiance against God. God takes it very serious. And you, if you are an officer in the church, you should take it serious. I find that many men are not serious about sin in the church. And God would not bless this church with that cavalier mentality that we have. Adam did this, the sin of defiance. This is what Achan did. I didn't want to get to this chapter, but this is why we go through the Bible patiently, because we will probably get to everything we should talk about in the church. The victory over Jericho, being fresh on Israel's mind, gave them assumption that the smaller city, Ai, was a walkover. The result? Disaster. It's only after Joshua inquired, he was about to quit, that God revealed Achan's defiance. Sin has a consequence, no matter who committed. As long as the church exists, the subject of sin will be an issue, because all men are sinful by nature. So don't get tired of hearing this subject. Some sin by choice, others sin willfully, but many in the church sin in defiance. But though one may hide their sin from another, as Achan did, no one can hide from the all-seeing eye of God, who is omnipresent. So we begin our study with our first heading: consequence of secret congregational sin. Verses 1 through 5. As you know, we can only highlight in these long chapters certain verses, but I give you the major heads that you can study them for yourself. So when I say verses 1 through 5, it doesn't mean that I am going to read verses 1 through 5, but you in your own study should go through the text. There are three side effects that are born out of Achan's trespasses against the Lord and the congregation, for that's what it was. It was a congregation moving forward in their military exploits, the congregation of Israel. And the first consequence is the wrath of the Lord. Verse 1 tells us, "For Achan, the son of Camri, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, a blue blood, if you may, an elite one in the congregation, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel." Why the whole congregation for this man's sin? Why? God's anger was aroused. One man's sin was imputed to the entire congregation, who became the objects of God's wrath. And you should pay attention to this very carefully. The name Achan means trouble or troubler. It's a word that was used by the prophet Ahab, you may remember, in 1 Kings 18, verse 18, when he approached wicked King Ahab, when Elijah approached wicked King Ahab. In 1 Kings 18, verse 17 and 18, we read, "And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel?" That's the word. "And he answered, Elijah, I have not troubled," that's the word again, "Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that you have forsaken the commandment of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam." You see how you trouble the Lord? Here the word trouble is the same root word, Achan, who troubled the people of God by provoking the anger of the Lord. Another consequence for secret congregational sin is presumption, verses 2 and 3. "And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai." Now this verse implies that God's servant Joshua had not foreseen the Lord's anger on his people. Had Joshua foresaw the Lord's anger, he would have changed course of direction. God did not reveal it to Joshua at that point. And most of the servants of God do not know anything about congregational sin. They don't know. "Nobody don't tell me anything," as some of you think. "Or I don't know anything when I share the gospel with you. I'm not preaching on hearsay." That's gutter preaching. The Lord could have stopped Israel from going into this battle, but he did not. He allowed providence to take its course. This presumption. Verse 3 says, "And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor there, for there are but few." This is presumption by a few men who presumed that God was with them. We are mistaken if we view the church as a democracy. The voice of the people is never the voice of God. Since when was Joshua supposed to follow the instructions of his army? I want to know. Joshua make a boo-boo as a man. There's a difference between suggestions from people and counsel. We should be open to spiritual suggestions. But when a congregation or elements of the congregation begin to counsel, there's a problem. The children of Israel became emboldened by one victory and forgot the voice of God. The advice Joshua received, "Make not all the people go to labor there, for there are but few." Let me tell you this. There are no small battles in Christian warfare. There are no small battles in Christian work. You should treat that class with four people as you would treat it with 400. You should prepare for every message you bring as if you was preparing for 100 people. Slop. Too much slop I see around here. There are no small battles in this church. There's no small job in this church. It is just as damaging to the church when little sins are practiced or big sins. Second, it takes the same congregational efforts of prayer for the small things as it takes for the so-called big things. Where are you when the church meet to pray? Where are you? Two consequential effects born out of Achan's breach of prohibition, defiance, the wrath of God upon the people. Presumption by the people. Make not all the people go to labor. Cocky, cocky, for there are but few. Whose battle are you fighting? Third consequence of congregational secret sins, defeat by the enemy, verses 4 and 5. So they went up thither to the people, about 3,000 men, just as the counsel they got. And they fled, they ran before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate, even unto Chebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. Notice they behaved just like the enemy. Their hearts melted. Discouraged. The Lord permitted this lowly city to embarrass his people as a means of chastisement. Brethren, in our Christian pilgrimage, many times it is not the big sins, the big things that trip us up. It's the lying. It's the shading of the truth. It is the effort and to seek to deceive the pastor. It's the little sins. You can't work with people that ain't transparent. You can't work with them. You work with them at the job, but you don't work with them at the church. It's different. It's the little sins in the church that trip us up and discourage us in our pilgrimage. The little sins that no one see. It's kept secret. It's just me and a few. Just me and my family. Me and my wife knows about it. Keep it close. God's people were defeated here. God said these words to Israel in the law in Leviticus chapter 26, verse 17. And I will set my face against you, and you shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and you shall flee when no man pursues you. Paul said to the Christians at Rome, let not sin reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in its lusts. secret sins angers God and blights the church. Causes us to presume, leads us to defeat. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. The consequence of secret sins were seen in these three ways: the wrath of God upon the congregation, presumption by the people, defeat by the enemy. And you know what, who the enemy is. I can't go through every possible thing from the pulpit in a sermon, but you can dot the I's and cross the T's. A lot of Christians live defeated lives. Can't witness. Can't do anything. Can't serve. Defeated. Point number two, the reaction to congregational secret sins. Verses 6 through 9. The reaction to congregational secret sins. Verse 6 and 7 says, and Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening tide. This is where Joshua went, the symbol of God's presence, strength. We heard this morning what the contents of the ark were. He and the elders of Israel and put dust upon their heads. Verse 7, and Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us to the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwell on the other side of the Jordan, Shittim. Why did we come over here to Gilgal? Humiliation. Remorse was the order of the day for Joshua and the elders of Israel. And it's always good to have a core group that you can go with, that you can confide in. Joshua didn't go to everybody, he went to the elders, where he got some strength. Joshua began to doubt his calling. Why have you brought this people over Jordan to deliver us to the hand of the enemy? Notice how Joshua put himself in the people and the sin to deliver us. And the man of God must identify with the sins of his people and not be aloof. And some of us act as though we are aloof. Humiliation. Today, not too many people respond to congregational sin as God responds. Not too many. You don't find them. If you and I do not feel the same way the Lord feels about secret congregational sin, we are not called to be leaders in the congregation. We are not possessed, we're not called to be leaders. The pastor or the elder is not an oddball. And some of you look at me with an element of skepticism. What's wrong with he? Nothing wrong with he. Joshua and the elders of Israel learn from their mentor back in Numbers. Leadership, congregational leadership, is a very lonely place. And many men are not ready to be lonely. They want to be with the people. You can't be with the people and be a leader. You got nothing against the people. We love the people. But too many of you like to pander to the people. I didn't learn it that way. I had a rough mentor. They learned from Moses in Numbers 14, 5 and 6, after the 10 spies brought back this evil report. Joshua learned from these men. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of Israel, the children of Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. Nothing profitable will come from a church if their reaction to sin is cavalier and jovial. Nothing will come out of a church like that. The approach that some have. No mourning, no sadness. Joshua had a concern for the name and the glory of the Lord among the nations and among his people. Look at verses 8 and 9 of Joshua 7. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear and shall environ us round and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? Joshua is concerned for the perpetuating of the church and the gospel. He saw beyond these people. Moses had the same disposition. When Israel sinned, he called upon his God not to let the heathen blaspheme God's name. And if there is any semblance of redeemed faculties in us, we would respond the same way. When we try to introduce things to enhance the worship in this church, we would understand why. Not too many understand. Paul chided with the church at Corinth who were hiding secret congregational sin, the sin of immorality. He says, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much name among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife, and you are puffed up and have not rather mourned, that he that have done this deed might be taken away from you, excommunicated. As you know, the Corinthians had many immoral issues addressed by the apostle. They were forgetting the essentials of Christian living. Twice the apostle said to them, do you not know that your body is the temple of God? Do you not know? Do you not know? You're not your own, that you are bought with a price. Do you not know? Apparently they didn't know. Today we have become very casual, very comfortable with congregational sins. We do not see the dangers of dishonoring God And if there happens to be any who has concerns, it seems odd. Why are you getting so uptight? These are the first two headings in our context. The consequence of secret congregational sin from the perspective of God's word. Second, the reaction to secret congregational sin based on Joshua and the elders of Israel. Third, the revealing of secret congregational sin, verses 10 through 13. You read, and the Lord said unto Joshua, verse 10, get thee up, wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Brethren, there is a time to pray, and there is a time not to pray, not to call on the prayer that we are not called on to pray. There's a time to act. There's a time to action. When God told Joshua, get up. What are you praying about? And some of us can say very quickly, I'll pray about it. You need to shut up. Times we think others in the congregation is the source of revealing congregational sin. We think that way. It's not so. It is the Lord who reveals secret congregational sin. When the word of God is proclaimed, God addresses the conscience of men. What do you tell me nothing? Paul says, when God's word is declared and there come in one that believe not, or one unlearned, and unlearned mean in the scriptures, he's convinced of all, he's judge of all, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of truth. God reveal secret congregational sin. Sometimes I'm accused of taking aim at individuals. I don't have that time to waste. But who are you, one person in a church that I got time to preach at when there's 20 or 30 more? God reveal sins to the conscience, but God often use other means of revealing sin. Sin has a way of being found out. Here the Lord revealed Israel's sin to Joshua, saying in 11 and 12, Israel have sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen, and disassembled also. Gang up. And they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore, except you destroy the accursed thing from among you. The word accursed thing means the dedicated thing. Of course, this is broader. I wouldn't get into the spiritual aspect of it. I would just continue in the practical. The Lord not only revealed the sin of Israel to Joshua, he identified the sin as corporate and revealed why Israel were defeated. Said, Israel have sinned, not Achan. They have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. The Bible says, the Lord spoke to Joshua. And God revealed sin by the proclamation of his word. Don't minimize the preaching of God's word. It is meant to reveal sin. Whether the gospel is faithfully proclaimed, read, explained, whenever it is, sin will be revealed. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. The Bible goes on to say in that text, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and exposed to him to whom we have to do. Hebrews 4:12-13. But God uses other means in making sin known. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 5:1, it has been reported commonly that there is fornication among you. Maybe Chloe cared so much for the church at Corinth that she told Paul what was going on. And there are people in the church that care so much for the holiness of God that they may tell you what's going on. When we had the situation just now in Chuma, I heard what was going on. But one young man came to me while I was there already. I mean, he's scared, but he says, Pastor, I want to tell you, this is what I saw in that mission house. I saw a man hidden in the bedroom from me. Any man of God would reveal sin to another man of God to warn him. Sometimes this little boy show more spiritual aptitude than grown men. But God has a way of revealing sin. So these are our three observations from the context. Consequence of secret congregational sin. It has an effect, brethren. I give you some of those effects. The wrath of God is one. The reaction, the secret congregational sin. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. The revealing of secret congregational sin, the Lord will reveal and has revealed by the preaching of his word and even by those who have a care and a concern for the purity of the church. Let me say something. Finally, as I seek to conclude this tough message, as disturbing as this event was to Joshua and to the congregation of Israel, the sin of Achan teaches a fundamental principle in the Bible. We are all sinners by imputation. You know what that big word means, right? To impute. You do like this, Jordan. You don't know what that big word means? Well, I'll tell you what imputation. It comes from the word to impute. It means that sin is transferred from one person to another. So you are a sinner because Adam's sin was transferred to you. You say, but that's not fair. It is fair. God laid down a stated prohibition. He's holy. It can sin affected the whole congregation, including Joshua. God doesn't have to be fair. He's holy. All men are subject to God's wrath, Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. The reason why God introduced the law is to impute sin, to show us. And that's what Paul is saying. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the likeness of Adam's sin, who is the figure of him that was to come. That's why you read everybody in Genesis 5 live 200 years and they die. Death reigned. Sin. Death. Death all over. Some die in accidents. Death was the order of the day, and death continues to haunt men. Adam is a representative of the entire human race. His act of trespass is credited to all men. That little baby that you just born, you see those terrible sins coming out as young as they are 2 days old, screaming to the top of their voice, "Come and get me." You better understand that quickly. You ain't no lovey-dovey, goo-goo, ga-ga. He's just a big sinner like you in the making because of Adam's sin. We can't get this understand because we don't understand the holiness of God. Don't understand it. He's a representative. But God sent his son to take the place of anyone who would humble themselves and acknowledge their state and call upon him. And Romans 10 says this, "For the scripture says, whoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." So the first profound gospel lesson in Joshua 7 is we are all guilty before God because of imputed sin. Another lesson revealed to us in Joshua 7 is the danger we risk in secret sin. The danger you and I risk when we sin secretly, keep it close, don't confess it, bring it into the church, hidden. It's a danger. Joshua did not see the sin of Achan. He was a man. But the Lord saw. Likewise, today we can mask our sin with religion. We can continue our march like Achan was doing in this assignment. But the all-seeing eye of God halted the march. Send them packing. Because he was merciful. He was gracious. Bible says, "Yeah, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee." God is omnipresent. He doesn't need a flashlight. Like you and I. Doesn't need Con Edison. 7 times the head of the church in Revelation said the same refrain, "I know thy works." 7 times, "I know thy works." I do not think the Lord has changed this attribute. The church, brethren, And I'm speaking about any church that is seeking to be biblical. I'm not speaking about these buildings going up and down Flatbush Avenue, yelling and screaming to the top. I'm not speaking of those churches. The church is the outward expression of the kingdom of God on earth. And we must not treat the church as an ordinary institution. Don't expect to come to the church, the house of God, and do what you like. Suppose somebody was to come to my house, I invite you to my house, Brother Nigel. You come taking the pictures off the wall, moving the dining room table and putting it in the living room. And I would tell you, don't come back. But yet people want to come to this church and take the pictures off the wall. I'm not talking about pictures. I'm talking about stated directives. The church is the house of God. And you heard that already. I didn't prep Brother Devil to say anything. I just hope that he preach it and do it. That's all. By example. It is the outward expression of God on earth. God has designed it this way. And God will respond to man's trespasses. He will blight a church that harbors sin. And don't deal with it. He will blight them. He will blight the preaching. The preaching would be useless. The preacher would begin to get tired and frustrated. I want to stop. God would do that. And I'm afraid he would discourage the preacher. As Joshua was discouraged. Achan's sin was in secret, but it was judged openly. The couple in the book of Acts that we read about who sought to deceive the apostles. And sometimes couples have a good job of doing this. Couples in the church. One can't seem to tell the other one come back. Sought to deceive the apostles in a secret deal they made. Peter said, under inspiration, well, we read from the top in Acts 5. Certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it, in other words, she knew about it, brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Everybody was given, as a matter of fact, in Acts 4, Barnabas had just sold his land, his property, and give the proceeds to the church. Ananias and Sapphira saw this and tried to mimic it, but not with a converted heart. Peter said to Ananias, why have Satan filled thine heart? And Satan cannot fill a heart that has the Holy Spirit. It's occupied by the Holy Spirit. Satan can tempt, but he can't fill. So don't give Ananias and Sapphira any credit for being Christians. They were making like they were Christians like the rest. And there are a lot of them in the church. Why do you keep back part of the price? Peter, very smart fisherman, he asks, why did it remain? Was it not yours? I mean, you can do what you want with it. After it was sold, was not the money yours? It was in your power. Why hast thou conceived this thing in your heart? You're not lying to me, you're lying to God. Some of you can do a good job. That's like going for a week when you know you're going for three. This couple operated in secret. But the resulting consequence was not a secret because Acts 5:11 said, and great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. Everybody, you hear what Ananias and Sapphira did? Yes, they sell their land and they came to the church and said they give all the money when they kept back half of it. You heard that? Don't do that. Don't be Ananias and Sapphira. The Bible says the church grew and multiplied. These people are serious about the word of God. I ain't joining that church. It says that no man joined them. People don't want to be in a church like that. Sin is addressed. Please. When congregational sin is biblically dealt with and exposed, it will bring the fear of God in the lives of people. When it is swept away and denied, it dishonors God. It's a means of God bringing spiritual revival in his church when Christians begin to confess their sins and to forsake their sins. Revival would come. And it doesn't have to be a meeting where we call in a speaker. It comes personally in the lives of God's people. And that's what we need in this church. So, in concluding our study of God's word today, it shows us two grand truths that I have just shown you. One is the sin of imputation, Jordan. When sin of another person is credited to others. Teach that. And this was Achan's sin that was credited to the whole congregation. It reminds us of Adam's sin that was credited to the whole world. But the chapter teaches a wonderful message of the Lord's provision for sin. And I do not want to leave you without hope. And therefore, in verses 24 through 26 of Joshua 7, we read these words. After the sin, Joshua 7, 24. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stone him with stones and burn him with fire after they had stoned them with stones. Verse 24 and 25. Let me read 26. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor. This is a lesson. Wicked Achan became a type of Christ. All of us cause Christ to suffer, that we could be set free. All of the congregation stoned him. All of the people, the scribes and the Pharisees, said, crucify him. They were speaking for me and for you. Let him be crucified. Terrible, isn't it? That's what we worship. And the Bible says, and the voice of the chief priest prevailed. Let him be crucified. God has put this here. The same sin that was imputed to the whole congregation, the same righteousness was imputed to them after he was killed. Joshua and all Israel brought Achan with the dedicated thing stolen. I'm not saying that Christ will steal anything. Don't run off with this now. Well, you might run off saying that you can teach something. No. I'm saying the spiritual message, not the practical message. There's nothing right about this. But God allowed it to happen to teach you the terrible nature of sin and what it deserves. Everything that Achan touched was defiled. Everything, his family, his house, his clothes, everything we touch is unsuitable for God. Nothing, the very message that I bring today, if it is not washed in Christ's blood, if it is not coming from redeemed lips, nothing. Junk. Garbage. Better watch what we're doing out there in secret. And coming here. It's a dangerous place to open up the Word of God in the face of people. I get very jittery. It's a reminder of God's punishment for sin. But it is a reminder of God's provision for his people. The name Achor is the same word as Achan, trouble. God the Father troubled Christ the Son. But those who believe on him would not be troubled. Valley of Achor is mentioned in Hosea 2, 14 and 15. God is speaking to backslidden Israel, said, therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably to her, backsliding nation. And I will give her vineyards from thence and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. And she shall sing there as in the days of her youth, and as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. Achor became the valley of hope. The cross. I bring you to the cross. I bring you to Christ. Some of you are still under God's curse, under his wrath. You haven't believed. Secret sins. There's a place to bury them. The cross. Christ. He said, and your iniquities and your sins I will remember no more. The cross. God has provided a door of hope for those who have transgressed his covenant, those who have breached his prohibition. Hence the gospel shines clearly. All men, women, boys, and girls sin by imputation. Adam's sin is transferred to all. There's a danger in secret congregational sins. God is all-seeing, omnipresent. Nothing is hid from his eyes. But wonderfully, God has provided a door of hope. Achor. Christ. The cross. Where we can come. You can't fake that. When you come to Christ, your life takes on a new dimension. Why don't you come to him and stop playing church? May the Lord give you that hope today. Let's pray.
Amen.
We are speechless. We deserve to be treated like Achan, stoned, burnt. everything we touch or is defiled. That's how you view us. But, oh Lord, the Savior stood condemned because of his love. May we walk away from this place with an attitude of thankfulness. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.